Hi, welcome back to the channel. This video is a roundup of some of the latest news and events from the world of business and finance. I've picked out a few interesting stories that caught my eye that I wanted to share with you, and we'll go through exactly what's happened, and I'll add a little bit of my twist as to what I think is going on. So in today's video, we're going to look at the latest blow for SoftBank, the Japanese investment bank. They've had one of their major sales fall through in the last couple of days. We're going to have a look at Meta, who've announced some really worrying news with regards to their overseas operations in Europe. I'll introduce you to a new SPAC, the Special Purpose Acquisition Companies, that is in a merger with Rumble. And if you're not familiar with Rumble, it is a very small competitor to YouTube. I'll give you an update on the latest from Donald Trump's social media venture, which is also merging with a SPAC. And finally today, we'll wrap up with a story from our friends at Sleepy Swiss giant banking corporation Credit Suisse, who've got themselves involved this time with the Bulgarian cocaine drug trafficking ring led by a former professional wrestler. So before we get into all of that, if I could ask you to give me a thumbs up at some point during this video if you're enjoying the content, and also to subscribe if you haven't done so already. And if you're a regular viewer, you'll notice that I've changed the lighting arrangement for this video. I'm just experimenting with a few different ideas, had some feedback from a lot of viewers saying that they weren't quite happy with the original setup. So please let me know what you think. It's just a trial, so it's not a permanent thing, but really interested to know what everybody thinks of this arrangement. And finally, I just wanted to remind you that I include chapters in all my videos. So if there's a particular topic that you're not interested in, then it's really easy to skip on to the next one. SoftBank is the giant Japanese investment bank that focuses in investing in early stage technology companies. SoftBank have had a really bad run of form. It started with WeWork, which they heavily invested into, and have now had to write down the value of that investment by tens of billions. But they've also had disasters with Didi, the Chinese ride-sharing app that I featured on this channel, which listed in New York in 2021 and immediately had all of its apps removed from China, which led to a huge fall in the share price. And they've also incurred huge losses on investments that they've made in businesses such as DoorDash and Alibaba. But one glimmering light on the horizon for SoftBank was their investment in Arm. And Arm is a UK-based microchip producer. And this is one of the biggest players in the whole world. And SoftBank bought Arm in 2016 for $32 billion. Arm is based in Cambridge in the UK and focuses in on the technology around microchips. So it produces its own microchips, but it also licenses out the technology to hundreds of other companies. So it's a really important player in the whole world of microchips. And these chips and the technology are used in everything. So Apple and Samsung and a lot of the smartphone manufacturers use these chips, and it's everything right through to appliances such as toasters that are utilizing this technology. Back in September 2020, so a very long time ago, SoftBank announced that it had agreed a sale of the Arm business to Nvidia, the California-based chip business. The headline price at that time was $40 billion, and the deal was structured $21.5 billion of shares in Nvidia and the rest being cash. As soon as the deal was announced, it was referred to a variety of regulators and market commissioners. And over the last 18 months or so, the deal has come under increasing pressure as there were concerns about controlling the market, reduced amount of innovation, reduced amount of competition, and price increases. Now, as you'll be aware, if you follow the channel, there's been a microchip shortage over the last 6 to 12 months. So this has meant that businesses like Arm have become even more attractive, and the share price of Nvidia actually increased significantly. And at one point, this deal was valued at $80 billion because 50% of the payment was coming in shares from Nvidia. Now, those shares have actually come back down again now, but it shows you how the value of a business like this can increase through a period when it's being investigated by the Monopolies Commission. And it's just been announced that SoftBank have now pulled the sale of the business. It is not going to receive approval. They're being sued through the US courts, and they've decided to walk away from the transaction. So this is another hammer blow for SoftBank. They're really under pressure right now. Their latest fund is underperforming, and they're wanting to raise more money. and they needed a good exit. They needed to show that they can actually make a profit on some of these deals. So this is really bad timing for SoftBank, and it's back to the drawing board for them. There are rumors that they will now look to do an IPO in Europe of Arm, but that will take some time unless they can find a SPAC to reverse into, of course. But the problem SoftBank will have right now is that the markets are very jittery. We've seen the markets going up and down, and there's a lot of concern about rising interest rates having a really negative impact on the markets. So whether or not SoftBank will be able to launch their IPO and whether they'll be able to get a price that they're happy with remains to be seen. So last week we saw the latest figures released by Meta, and they were a disaster. The big concern for everybody is that the number of daily active users has fallen for the first time ever. And there are worries that the younger market is not being attracted to Facebook and that its usage will decline, and therefore so will its revenues and its profits. And we've now heard some even more worrying news from Meta. And this news relates to European privacy regulations. The latest annual report to the Securities and Exchange Commission states that European privacy regulations complicates its platform's functionality and ad products. Specifically, the rules prohibit cross-border transfers of user data, so Meta can't process Europeans' information in its US-based servers. Meta went on to state that if a new transatlantic data transfer framework is not adopted, and we are unable to continue to rely on SCCs, or rely upon other alternative means of data transfers from Europe to the United States, we will be unlikely to offer a number of our most significant products and services, including Facebook and Instagram in Europe. It finished off this filing stating that as a result of these or other factors, our metaverse strategy and investments may not be successful in the foreseeable future or at all, which could adversely affect our business, reputation or financial results. So some quite serious implications for the Facebook and Instagram businesses if this European regulation is upheld and if it does prevent all of this data being processed by US servers, then it means that Facebook and Instagram won't be able to offer a global service. And that is at the heart of the metaverse concept. So Mark Zuckerberg has been focusing a lot of his attention onto the metaverse. He thinks that that's the way the world is moving, that in 5 years' time, we'll all be living in the metaverse. We'll be going to work and having some socializing and doing everything through virtual headsets. And if he can't join everything together, then that means that his metaverse won't be functional. It'll only be focused on individual geographical regions. So there's a clear implication here from Meta that they want these rules and regulations to be changed because they're saying that it's preventing them from being able to operate and be able to run their normal businesses. But the problem he's got here is that regulators don't usually just change their rules and regulations because it fits one particular business. They have rules and regulations in place because they want to protect the consumers, not because they want Facebook or Instagram to make more money. So I think the more obvious outcome here will be that Meta will have to set up some data centers in Europe so that that data is not being transferred back to the US technically, and then they would get around all of these problems. But if they do that, then obviously they'll need to increase their cost base, and there'll be some period of time when they have to integrate the two systems. So this all means more cost, more development, and probably lower profits for Meta. So more bad news from Meta and potentially some really big bad news. I'm sure they wouldn't want to close down Facebook and Instagram in Europe. It's highly profitable for them. It's a big part of their operation. If they had to, I guess they could also split the company into two and they could have a separately listed European arm and a US arm with completely separate data systems. So there's a lot of ways around this, but just in the short term, this is causing a big problem for Facebook and Instagram, and it's causing a problem for Meta. And the last thing that Mark Zuckerberg needs at the moment is any more problems. A lot of bad news coming his way right now. So if you follow this channel, you'll know that we are big fans of SPACs, Special Purpose Acquisition Companies. And SPACs are set up as a cash shell floated in New York, and then that SPAC merges with another business and becomes the listed entity for that business. So SPACs offer a shortcut way of floating your business And the problem we've seen with SPACs is that they are highly speculative. When people buy shares in a SPAC, they don't really know what that business is going to become. So it's a complete gamble. And the share price tends to be highly volatile, so they can go up and down really rapidly. And we've seen some really disastrous performance post-merger. So a lot of businesses that have merged have seen a big fall in their share price once investors can see exactly what the business itself is. But the latest SPAC that's in the news is CF Acquisition Corp. 6. So CF Acquisition Corp. is a shell vehicle that is listed in New York, and it has agreed a merger with a company called Rumble. And Rumble is a very, very small scale competitor to YouTube. So it's a video sharing platform that was founded in 2013 in Canada by a guy called Chris Pavlovsky. And for the first few years of its existence, it didn't really grow particularly rapidly, but it started to pick up a bit of pace after Donald Trump left the White House and he became banned from social media. And Rumble decided that it wanted to be the freedom of speech platform, so there was to be no censorship. Everybody could post videos without running the risk of being taken down. And the popularity of Rumble has been increasing, and it announced recently that it has around about 44 million active users every day. Now that compares to over 2 billion active users that YouTube have, so it's a very, very small fish in comparison. So Rumble announced the merger with CF Acquisition Corp. 6 in December, giving it a valuation of $2.1 billion. And as part of that, it's agreed a $100 million PIPE deal, so it's raising some pre-flotation money. And it's aiming to raise $400 million of new money upon the merger. And the reason that this SPAC is in the news is all down to Joe Rogan. Now, Joe Rogan is a guy who runs a podcast on Spotify. He's been in the news everywhere recently because he's come under a lot of pressure because some of his podcasts have been accused of having racial slurs within them. And also he's accused of having people on his podcast who've been spreading misinformation about COVID. Now, Joe Rogan has apologized about the racial slurs and he's taken down the old podcast that included some of that language. But with regards to the COVID discussions, he said that it's a freedom of speech vehicle and that he's just allowing people to come on and talk about what they believe. Now, this freedom of speech angle obviously appealed to Rumble, and the chief executive of Rumble tweeted Joe Rogan, offering him a job and a guarantee of $100 million if he comes and joins Rumble. Now, this led to a lot of excitement on the stock markets, and the share price of CF Acquisition Corp. 6 rose around about 30% as soon as this tweet came out. Now, Spotify have been pretty quick to close down this rumour, and they've released a statement saying that Joe Rogan is staying with Spotify, and I'm sure all of this is great news for Joe Rogan himself, but it's also been good news for Rumble because it's raised their profile, it's got their SPAC in the press, it's got everybody looking at what Rumble is and thinking about freedom of speech video platforms. So overall, all good news, and it hasn't cost anybody a penny. Apart from Spotify, we're probably going to have to double Joe Rogan's pay now. Another SPAC that's also linked to the Rumble deal is Digital World Acquisition Corp. And if you follow the channel, you'll know that Digital World Acquisition Corp. has announced the merger with Trump Media, which is Donald Trump's social media venture. So if you've been living under a rock and you're not familiar with this story, Donald Trump was banned from all forms of social media following his exit from the White House. So when he was in the White House, Donald Trump was a prolific tweeter. He used to send out regular tweets that were quite surprising for somebody in his position. And when he was banned from social media, all of that opportunity was taken away from him. So to counteract that and to also implement a freedom of speech vehicle, he's now creating his own social media platform. So Trump Social is looking to establish a Twitter competitor. And alongside that, it's also signed up a deal with Rumble to provide video, cloud sharing and streaming services. So it's now got all of the different bases covered from a social media perspective. So when the tweet from the founder of Rumble was sent to Joe Rogan, it initially caused the Digital World Acquisition Corp. price to rise to almost $100. And that's a groundbreaking level for a SPAC. All SPACs list their shares at a base price of $10. So to get up to almost $100 represents a 10 times increase before the merger has even happened. The share price of Digital World Acquisition is the highest performer out of every single SPAC pre-merger. However, unfortunately, the good news didn't last. The newly appointed CEO of Trump Media announced that, unfortunately, the launch date of the 21st of February has now been delayed until the 31st of March. So the share price has now moved back down closer to $80. That still represents more than 8 times the original price for the SPAC and is around double the level of the share price when I posted the original video on the Trump Media SPAC. So the share price is doing well, but unfortunately we're now all going to have to wait just a little bit longer before we start seeing any output from Trump Media. And finally today, I wanted to give you another update on our friendly Swiss banking giant Credit Suisse. So everybody expects the world of Swiss banking to be quite dull and boring. Nothing really happens of any excitement in Swiss banks. But you'd be wrong if you thought that, because what goes on at Credit Suisse is better than any movie that you've seen recently. So we've recently covered off a variety of things from Credit Suisse, including their 1.3 billion tuna bond fiasco in Mozambique, where they were reportedly lending to help develop the tuna fishing fleets, but actually the money was being siphoned off to buy warships and guns and to line everybody's pockets. We had 2 massive hedge fund failures that resulted in billions being lost for all of the investors at Credit Suisse. Then we had the spying scandal, where the bank had hired private investigators to actually follow some of their employees to see what they were up to and to record their conversations outside of work. And then finally, I told you the story of the new chief executive who'd been brought in to clean everything up and to sort out the reputation and to put Credit Suisse back firmly on the map. And unfortunately, after 9 months, he ended up resigning because he breached all of the COVID rules around the world. He decided to fly in to watch the Wimbledon tennis finals and some of the Euro 2020 football finals and breached all of the rules and therefore had to fall on his sword. So we thought that all of the excitement is over, but Credit Suisse is now back in the news because it's now being sued for helping a Bulgarian cocaine trafficking gang to launder millions of euros, including some of it stuffed into actual suitcases. So that would be a good enough story in itself. But the ringleader of this Bulgarian cocaine trafficking gang is actually an ex-professional Bulgarian wrestler. So the story goes that a female employee of Credit Suisse who joined the bank in 2004 was dating the professional wrestler. And his associate started taking large suitcases full of cash into the bank and placing them in a safe deposit box. The Bulgarian gang then used a process called smurfing, and it's got nothing to do with those cute little creatures from the movies. Smurfing is a process whereby you take a large amount of cash and break it down into smaller amounts that go below the radar. So Credit Suisse would have had a limit which would have triggered an investigation. So I don't know what the limit was, but let's assume it was 5,000 euros. So if you were to place a deposit above 5,000 euros in cash, then that would have triggered an investigation and would have caused the bank to then find out that the Bulgarians were placing dirty money into their accounts. So if you know what that limit is, and obviously if you're dating one of the employees, you can find out that information, then you can go in and put the amount that's just below that. So if the limit was 5,000 euros, then you could deposit 4,999 euros and that would go undetected. And therefore what you can do is do hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of those deposits. So you need a lot of people turning up, opening the suitcase full of cash, taking out 4,999 euros worth and then giving it into the bank to put into an account. So it's alleged that the female employee helped the gang to launder over 146 million francs, which is more than 150 million US dollars. And included in that figure was 43 million francs or $45 million in cash. Now that is an enormous amount of transactions. You can imagine if you've got somebody having to put in 4,999 francs every time, the amount of transactions to get to a 43 million franc limit is huge. So needless to say, there must have been a lot of people involved in this scam. You would have had queues out the door every single day of all these Bulgarian guys with 4,999 francs looking to place their deposit. Surely somebody must have thought there's something a bit unusual going on here. But it went on for a long period of time. She joined the bank in 2004 and she was arrested in 2009. So this was over a 5-year period. The Credit Suisse is denying that the money came from illegal sources and they claim that the ex-professional wrestler had legitimate business concerns in construction, hotels and leasing. But the whole thing seems to have been a complete shambles because even when Credit Suisse became aware that there were issues with regards to these transactions, they reported it to the prosecutors. And in June 2007, the prosecutors asked Credit Suisse for information on accounts held by Banev and Associates in response to requests from Bulgaria. Noticing a series of withdrawals, the bank's compliance department asked the prosecutors whether to freeze the accounts, but was told not to in order to avoid tipping the clients off. By the time the prosecutors gave Credit Suisse the go-ahead, much of the money had been withdrawn. So not really a very bright move. They said, let's leave it. Let's not tell them. We don't want to tip them off. We don't want to avoid giving them any suspicion that we're on their case. But at the same time, they allowed them to withdraw all the money and then arrested them after all of the cash was gone. Absolutely crazy. So it'll be very interesting to see how this case ends up. And it's interesting that Credit Suisse's defence is that they think that Banev was actually a professional involved in construction and hotels. Because in 2017, he was convicted of drug trafficking in Italy and then convicted of money laundering in Bulgaria in 2018. He then went on the run and disappeared and was later arrested in the Ukraine in September 2021. In addition to that, his business associate, who actually introduced all of this business to the new Credit Suisse employee, was shot dead in Sofia in Bulgaria in 2005 as he left a restaurant with his wife. So I'm not sure that Credit Suisse's defence that Banev was a good guy and was really just focused on construction and hotels is going to hold any water in the courts. So I'll keep you posted if there's any further news on this story. Hopefully you've enjoyed this video today. You found it informative, relevant and a little bit of fun. If you've liked what I've said, then please give me a thumbs up and don't forget to subscribe if you haven't done so already.